Hello, hello.
Hey, Frank.
Hello, Dave Fields. How are you today?
I'm okay. And yourself?
Good. It's finally cooled down.
It's been cool up here. I'm up in Massachusetts.
Oh, I see. All right.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah, it's a very nice day. I'm seated just 3/4 of a mile away from our beautiful campus. I'm afraid I have contracted COVID.
No.
That's okay. I'm asymptomatic. I'm still testing positive, so I'm isolating to follow good protocol. But technically, under the new CDC guidelines and CUNY policy, I would be okay to be out and about because I've been, knock on wood, asymptomatic the entire time, which I consider myself very lucky. I'm also double boosted, so I'm sure that's been helpful.
Right. I'm waiting for the new one to come out or make its way up.
Yes, very soon we should get another shot if as needed to protect us against these new variants that are coming out.
Yes. I just got the new shot. Gave me a low-grade fever, but I got everything you know.
Oh, wonderful. So you mean the one that protects against the latest variants that's already available?
It's the B4 and B5, as I recall.
Oh, wow. I did not know it was out.
Yeah, and sad to say, there was no line at CVS.
Wow. Oh,
you were just able to go right in?
Go right in. We made an appointment. My wife made an appointment online, but no, it was pretty easy. The person who gave me the shot sadly didn't have a mask, so that's always... It always gives me confidence when I see medical professionals not wearing masks, but, you know, so be it.
Yeah. Megan Healy, great to see you. You were just terrific in yesterday's meeting, and I want to praise you in the presence of others.
Thank you, Frank. Hi, everybody. It's nice to be back at the Senate, especially you, Dave. I'm loving the beard.
Thank you.
Megan Healy joins us in a new role. She is a member of the administration now, probably much to her surprise. Good to see everyone. Brenda, hello, how are you? And Mohammed and Jeff and Robin, Patricia. Nakia, Claudia, good to see you back from Paris. And Singing and Nakia. Some of you I've not yet met. I'm looking forward to meeting you. Nikki and Minjay and Bojana and Jennifer. Ping, Alexander. And Professor Blanford, with your new shot, what is the equipment you have in the background? You seem to have quite a bit of interesting equipment that must have recently arrived. It's still in boxes.
A lot with rock cores. You'll probably see some Amazon packages back here. FYI, I got an Amazon account for tax exempt. It's a nice thing. And sadly, I bought that with an Amazon card, so it's 5% off. But Amazon's taking over the world, and I'm helping, so sorry.
For sure.
I see. All right. You work on rocks.
Yeah. I do some work related to hydraulic fracturing, looking at the movement of organic chemicals in sandstones, which serve as the primary aquifers in central Pennsylvania and eastern Ohio. So looking at how the chemicals move through those to for risk analysis.
Oh, all right. Are you involved at all with that giant sinkhole in Centralia, Pennsylvania?
No. I did, by the way, when I very first got here to Queens College, the department was cold called by CBS saying, hey, you got somebody who knows something about sinkholes. And I had to give an interview with a half an hour's notice to the CBS affiliate. I wasn't teaching that day, so I had to go home and get better looking clothes so I could be on television and not look like a schmo. So.
That's great. So you know all about that sinkhole. For those of you who don't know, it's been around decades, and it's one of the world's largest sinkholes. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. If you ever get bored and want to see a crazy video online, do a YouTube search for Disappearing Lake in Louisiana, and you'll watch a story that lasts about 10 minutes that sounds crazy. Yeah. But if you want something entertaining, Disappearing Lake, Louisiana.
You know, I am told that in our neighborhood, so I live just south of campus, and from time to time, sinkholes appear in the streets. And I am told that this is an especially swampy neighborhood, and it's not uncommon for parts of the streets in this section of Queens just to collapse. Is that so?
They do have some problems with that. A lot of it is the water pipes. A large percentage of the water in this city does not reach taps, so they leak. In addition, you have leaking sewer pipes, and a lot of that can cause lossage of a lot of material down there. North of the campus, they're long-term, they're looking to daylight the Flushing River to bring it back. Greg O'Mullen, Tim Eaton are doing some nice things on that, and that used to be just, kind of like, who really cares? It's just kind of an environmental exercise, until sadly about a year ago now. You remember those horrible images of those people drowning in basements?
Oh, yes.
That was just, I was just shocking. And I asked the students in class 20 minutes ago, is flooding a problem here in Queens? And they all said no. I'm like, don't you guys remember a year ago? But
Yeah, no, this is it's an actual risk. Is your Senate leader here, Kevin Ferguson? I'm just vamping, as he calls it. Kevin, I'm just filling time for you. I'm your warm-up act, Kevin.
In the great jazz tradition. Yes, thank you, Frank. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but we're looking forward to hopefully meeting back in person. So you will have to vamp one-on-one to your constituents, so to speak.
Yes.
And I'm just checking with Brenda. Sorry, we're texting to see if we have a quorum yet and we can begin.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, everyone. Thank you for your patience. Welcome back. We have a quorum, so we can begin.
Thank you, Brenda. It's very nice to see all of you electronically. Shout out to all the parents in the room, especially parents with school-aged children in the public schools. We were able to send away today for 6 hours and let them be someone else's problem. Looking forward, it's always a tough time for CUNY parents this first week or so to kind of get back in track. So very happy to see all of you. First off is an approval of the agenda. I'll move that. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
I'll move the agenda.
Thank you. And is there a second?
Second.
And any objections, any additions?
Unanimous consent.
Okay, seeing no objections, the agenda is approved. Next is the approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes from our last two sessions. We had a regular session and a limited one. Is there a motion to
approve? I'll make a motion to approve.
Thanks, okay. And a second, Dave, can I count on you?
Yeah, you got
it. Any objections? Okay, the Senate meeting minutes are approved. And we'll move on to announcements. I'm very happy to invite President Frank Wu to address us, and I will give him the floor now.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It's just a delight to see you. Although it's yet again on a screen, it will be back on our beautiful campus very soon. I'm going to talk about three things. The first is a vision for the institution. I think it's always important at the outset of a new school year to offer a vision. And we have a vision that is based on our strategic plan that 1,100 people helped to put together. Second, I'd like to talk about something that's at the core of that vision, at the heart of it. It's part of our identity and always has been. It's not just something we discovered yesterday, and that's diversity, equity, inclusion. Third and finally, and I've put it last deliberately, I will touch upon COVID protocols. We are emerging from the pandemic at long last. We can celebrate, and boy, just seeing the students playing volleyball, throwing frisbees, hanging out, just walking across the quad. I'm well into my third year, but it's only now that I feel that I'm really at Queens College. And it's just wonderful to be able to see this, to see 80%+ of our classes in person, with some online as needed, because we want to meet our students where they are. Let me start with a vision. I want us to be the school of the double major, the triple major, the student with a major and a minor. I urge everyone who is studying writing to take a math class, and everyone who's studying math to take a writing class. There's a word for people who have only one skill set. That word is obsolete. So I hope that all of our students will consider being a double major in our acclaimed education school, for example. That's already true. Everyone in the education school is studying a subject such as history or English or chemistry or physics, and they're studying how to teach that subject. So I applaud them. The New Arts School and the Business School are examples. It is not an accident that we started these at the same time. I know, because this was my story when I was a student with immigrant parents, that for so many of our students, their parents having come and sacrificed so much for the American dream, or being native born, but sending the first generation off to college, not having had that opportunity for themselves, they're very practical, as makes sense. They want the kids to have a job, to be able to move out of the house and make a living for themselves and provide for their own families. So they say, you must be an accounting major. And I respect that. Accounting is a fine profession, plenty of jobs for accounting majors. But the youngster yearns to study drama, theater, dance, or anthropology. And the parents and grandparents are shocked because they've never even heard of anthropology. What is that? Are there jobs? Could there possibly be? Well, I would like to say there should not be the sort of family conflict that I know so well. Come to Queens College. You can't do this everywhere, but at Queens College, you can. You can get a practical liberal arts education. You can be in the art school and the business school simultaneously. You can be in the business and liberal arts program. You can study arts leadership and someday found your own theater and run it, because to have more than one skill set will make you more effective in everything you do. And every leader that I know is someone who has, along the way, they've picked up something that maybe they never thought that they would be able to do well. Well, at our institution, we want to train you. So I urge you, be a double major. And that's the vision for the institution, the sort of place where people have opportunities and options, where they can come to a beautiful campus and take classes in person, but when needed, take something online, because maybe that semester they got to work a couple jobs. They can put in the hours in the library and be part of our D2 athletics program. I want to train the Renaissance men, the Renaissance women. This is important when it comes to faculty hiring as well. And I just want to touch upon the unprecedented, really, in the time that even for those who are more senior people, such as Professor Stephen Grover, who I see here, there has not been a moment like this for CUNY when there's been the funding for 600 new hires. This is thanks to our friends in Albany, and I want to credit each and every one of you, especially students, because legislators listen to you as their constituents, and they know, they see, following this terrible two-year ordeal, that now is the moment to invest. And they have done that because they believe in Queens College. They believe in the CUNY system that we're proud to be a part of. So we've already brought on 17 brand new full-time lecturers. From time to time, people say to me, you know, you just have too many adjuncts. And I generally agree with our critics. So we've wanted to bring on full-time lecturers. We now have a new tranche of tenured and tenure track hires. We were in the top two of all the institutions in the CUNY system and how many we were allotted. It's in the double digits, and many departments are off hiring, in particular in arts and business, to help enhance our new programs. And we have an additional batch of full-time lecturers. So it's three groups, not one, not two, but three. It includes lecturers who are just so dedicated to teaching, as well as tenured and tenure track faculty. And I know that it's important to support all of you through the institutional advancement and the other activities that we do to offer the material support. Lori Dorf, the vice president of the foundation, had a banner year. She and her team brought in $17 million. That's really bouncing back from the pandemic when we dipped down into the single digits in terms of millions, below $10 million. Of course, that's explained by the pandemic. It includes government grants. Congresswoman Grace Meng, a wonderful friend to Queens College, she represents us in those corridors of power, ensured that we got an earmark for almost $2 million for Professor John Dennehy's COVID wet lab. If you didn't see that New York Times explainer all about how wastewater testing works, check it out. There's a video and they follow, and I can't believe I'm going to say this word, sewage that they've taken from the New York City treatment plants using, I'm not going to go into the details, but they invented a method that uses some off-the-shelf products you might not imagine. When you look at the explainer, you'll see what I'm talking about. And they follow the van all the way to our campus where they take that very dangerous biohazardous material, and students in the lab working alongside Professor Dennehy run it through these centrifuges, and they can test now not only for COVID, but for monkeypox and polio. And this was all a method invented right here in the CUNY system. Professor Monica Trujillo of the Queensborough Community College was also part of that team. I want to acknowledge her as part of our partnership with community colleges that are our sister institutions. We need to work on enrollment. And it's important that I mention that at every opportunity. We need to be at 20,000 students, and we're not there. So I want each and every one of you, I implore you, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, you will not find another place anywhere where you can get the type of quality education you have at Queens College. And that's what brought me here and why I'm just so thrilled to be able to serve you as president. And we know that we need to offer this to more than the 16,500 who we have now. We need to get back up to 20,000. This is in the interests of each and every person employed by Queens College, because in order for our budget to work out, in order for us all to be employed as we want to be, we need to get that enrollment to 20,000. It's an easy number to remember. We've hit it in the past and we will hit it again. We just have to close the deal with some more of your neighbors, your brothers and sisters, your cousins, your nieces and nephews. Second, let me talk about diversity, equity, inclusion briefly, but always. You know, there are some people who just discovered diversity as a catchphrase, who claim to have embraced it, and kids these days look at that sort of thing and they call it performative. And I get that. Some of you may not know, I'm actually, to tell you the truth, improbable as a college president. I've spent most of my career as a civil rights advocate. I don't intend to rest on my laurels, but I worked on behalf of undocumented immigrants way back in 1994. I worked on LGBT rights when I headed the Washington, D.C. Human Rights Commission. I played a minor role in helping persuade the Pentagon to lift the combat exclusion on women in the military. Everything that I've done all along has been to advance racial justice and social justice. And so for me, this is a lifelong commitment. It is not just a box to check. And an important aspect of that I want to say as loudly and as clearly as possible is this: diversity is like democracy. It's not a product that you buy. It's not an outcome. It's not something you put on a shelf and admire. It's a process you engage in. You roll up your sleeves. You're part of the hurly-burly of the public square. And yes, sometimes there's dissent. You make progress, and sometimes there's some setbacks. But it's a process that we engage in. What I mean by that is, when it comes to the issues, and we have our challenges, believe me, if you haven't taken a look, look at the Frankly Speaking we just sent out 48 hours ago, because I want to be transparent with you. We need to do better. And thanks to Jerima DeWeese, our Dean of Diversity, the only Dean of Diversity in the CUNY system, a comprehensive investigation was made of those events over in Delaney Hall, those hateful, racist, and anti-Semitic scrawls discovered on the fateful day of January 6th in a building that has such significance symbolically for our community. They interviewed dozens of people. We should have done it earlier, and I want to say that right up front. I've accepted their findings and written a letter with a commitment in material terms. This is not just talk. That's why we created Jerima's role in addition to the Title IX role we have. It's why she's hiring three more people. We're walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And if you know of good candidates for those roles doing the DEI work on our campus, contact Jerima DeWeese. I know that whenever we talk about this, it's more than just the words that you hear. You want to know that we're competent, that we're compassionate, that we have your back, that this is real. You know, thanks to social media, the divisiveness of our nation, the sorts of subjects that Jimmy Vaca, for example, talks to his students about in the classes where they look at the issues of the day. Not everyone trusts leaders because there are just so many who will spread falsehoods. I want to double down on a commitment to you that I'm at Queens College because I believe in what we do. And what we do is not just serve as the engine of the American dream. We do that for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, where your ancestors came from, what your station in life, how much money your parents made. It's not that it doesn't matter. It's that we embrace it. Your ethnicity, your faith, however you choose to define it. This is something that I want you to know is what we are here to do. It's why this institution was founded in 1937. It's why the CUNY system was created in the 60s, a generation later. It's to lift people up, the good people of New York City. Whether you arrived yesterday or whether your ancestors came 250 years ago. Finally, COVID. I'm going to be as clear as possible. We want to welcome you safely. You, your friends, if you come to our gates and you have anything for us, you have a vaccination or a test within the past 7 days, either or, not both and, either proof of vaccination or a PCR test within the past 7 days, we're going to let you on campus. All right. Here's an easy way to remember it. You know who we're not going to let on? People who got nothing. You got nothing for us, we got nothing for you. If you have no vaccination at all, none. And if you can't show you've gotten a negative test, then we will turn you away. And I'm fine with that because I'm not going to let you come on and present a risk to our community. And this is part of the social contract. When I got my shot, it was for me, of course, but it was for you too. And I know that vice versa, that you're helping me when you put that face mask on. And we are to this day, I want you to know, face mask friendly. There's no stigma, there's no shame. You want to wear a face mask. And I know that some people, they got someone at home that they're looking after who's in their 90s or who's immunocompromised. I know that from my own family. And you got to take extra care. So if I'm indoors and you're wearing a face mask, I will volunteer to put a face mask on. If you see me and you're thinking this is not comfortable, just say, hey, put a face mask on. Now, you do need, if you're a student, to get vaccinated. We urge you to get that booster shot, as we were talking about just before we began. And you do need to do the cleared for, if you're a contractor, whoever else, if you work at Queens College and you're coming. But I'll tell you what, if you forget it one day, all right, or if your phone battery died or something's not quite working, I have told Chief Huggins, and she has instructed the public safety officers, but the one-time thing, and you can show that vaccination or the test, we will welcome you. Let me say this again. The only people we're going to turn away are folks who got nothing, all right? You show us something, we will welcome you. Now, if it's the fifth day and you're telling us your phone battery, you didn't charge it again, and you don't have your cleared for, right? At some point, they're going to say, look, you got to get this straightened out, okay? And it's in your interest. You just tap, you come in. So those are the COVID protocols. Remember, this is changing over time. And I don't just on my own do whatever I want. We got to look at the CDC, the city law, the state law, the CUNY policy, and we will continue to adapt over time, following the science and being safe. So thank you. Thank you to Kevin Ferguson, Brenda Salas. Thank you to the Senate for offering me this opportunity to come visit with you and see you. I cannot wait to be back in person. Even now, 3 years in, there are some of you who I have not had a chance to say hello to in person. Some of you whose hands I haven't shaken. And I just can't wait, because to be on our campus, whenever I'm there, and I'm there every single day, except right now, because I'm isolating to follow these COVID protocols, it just gives me joy. When I show up in the morning, I realize, wow, this is the job I want to have. It is more than a job. It is a calling. And I want you, faculty, staff, students, whoever you are, whatever your role is, that when you show up on campus, you too feel at home, because you have welcomed me and I want to welcome you. It's reciprocal. And that's something we can find our way back to, that moment when we believe in a common good, a public good, when we believe in service to humanity, to live up to our motto. And I'm looking forward to doing that with you. Thank you so much. Kevin, back to you.
Thank you very much, President Wu. If we can we take a minute? Does anyone have any questions or any follow-up?
Well, if I can follow up,
yes.
I think the president, and I know the president touched on enrollment, and I think that all of us on the faculty have a role to play. We have to speak to our students, find out if they need advice, find out if we can engage in retention, if we can keep them in Queens to finish their BAs, go for their master's degrees, discuss with them possibilities and options. Many of our students are looking for guidance and for someone, and I think the faculty has a role to play in, because all the classes we teach, I find, have students who need that type of help. So I just wanted to bring up that I think 20,000 is doable for Queens College. And if we all put our minds to it cooperatively, I think that we can help in that venture.
Thank you, Professor Vaca. Does anyone else have any comments or questions? Just
yes,
raise your hand, please.
I'm so sorry. Can I just follow up on what Professor Vaca had said?
Yes, I'm sorry. Excuse me, 1 second. It is a little tricky on Zoom. If you would, please raise your hand and I can call on you. And then also, because we're recording these meetings, if you would just state your name, and it's traditional to state your department or affiliation as well. So Enrique, you can have the floor.
Yes, I'm so sorry. So I'm Enrique Pena. I am, senator for Student Association, graduate delegate. I wanted to follow up on what Professor Vaca had said, which is the idea that we have students also on campus that are not aware of the services that are provided to students, and just having administration have offices for scholarships for in every student gathering, every student club, it will make a huge difference, because again, classes have been online for almost about 2 years, and students are completely disconnected from campus, from what is offered to them. There are so many opportunities that some don't have any idea that exist. That partnership is it's just key to making sure that we do reach that enrollment, and we also keep that up, right?
Excellent. Thank you, Enrique, for your thoughts. Laura, I miss seeing you.
You as well, Kevin. Thank you. I miss seeing a lot of you. Laura Silverman, Director of Academic Advising. Hello, everyone. Nice to see you all. Welcome to the fall 2022 semester. I just want to thank Professor Vaca for having made mention of the importance of supporting our students and advising our students. As the main center for advisement on campus, I can assure you that we can reach our enrollment goals if we're able to provide our students with the support and services that they need. There was a point, especially mid to late August, we could not keep up. I've never had to turn students away before. There's such a need for students not only to be assisted once, but two and three and more times, especially in this very challenging environment. So with that said, I do want to turn my question over to President Wu, and that is, what are we substantiating the 20,000 on? Are we talking matriculated students? Are we also adding in those who are with us for visiting college now? All of the ways in which students can be students here at Queens College. And then with that said, are we starting to talk about the needs of the 20,000, the course inventory, the support services, all of the boots on the ground services to help support the, you know, such a large number of students? I was around for the 20,000 plus, and I can assure you that that was challenging. I want it, but I can assure you it was challenging.
Right. And like everyone else, we've been affected by the great resignation. You know, so many of our offices are down. I want to thank Laura, you and your peers. I know people work day in, day out, and sometimes they get yelled at and they don't deserve that. They deserve our support because so many people are so hardworking. I cannot tell you how many people we've lost just everywhere. And I'm not making this up. These are real numbers. And you've seen the headlines. You know, I sometimes think to myself, where did everyone go? You know, are they just, did they just everyone move in into their parents' basements? Because so many people have left so many workplaces and we have got to hire. We are engaged in doing that. The 20,000 comes from taking a look at our budget. We need to be at 20,000. Laura, I would accept whatever definition you want to use. Where we are now, it doesn't matter to me how you define the 20. We just have got to get back up into that ballpark in order to ensure that our talented faculty and staff are paid and that the institution runs effectively. And most importantly, that we offer this opportunity. You know, no matter how you cut it, and I know some folks out there, they have doubts about the value of higher education, but they're talking about those places you go and you've read about them where you graduate after 4 years and you have $250,000 of debt. That is not us. Overwhelmingly, our students graduate with zero debt or very low debt. The average debt load is way below the national average. We rank at the very top in the top 10 again and again and again, what they call return on investment. And let me put in a plug. I want to say something about our students. I say this to every donor, every opportunity I get. You know why our students don't finish? It's not because they're not smart. It's not because they're not trying. It's because we are not offering enough financial support. The number one reason that our students can't continue is they can't afford to do it. They sacrifice, they save, but they've got families, they've got needs. And that's why the food pantry was so important during the pandemic. It's why raising money for scholarships is at the top of our list. We have got to support our students, and I'm dedicated to that. I'm happy to take questions, Kevin. I'm also mindful of your time, so I defer to you on how you control your meeting.
Yes, no, I appreciate that. Jackie, we'll recognize you.
Hi, I'm Jackie. I'm the faculty senator for Earth and Environmental Sciences. My question's about kind of like why our enrollment numbers are down so much. Is this primarily due to retention of existing students during the pandemic? Is it lower in numbers of incoming freshmen, or is it lower transfer students, or is it all three? Because enrolling those different populations require different outreach methods.
Yep. It's everything. So our actual applicant numbers are strong. We are getting as many applicants as we've always gotten. We're not closing the deal. And I want to be clear, I support Vice President Jen Jarvis, the talented folks in the hub and admissions, but I also know we've got to improve our customer service. So I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I was in a meeting yesterday and I said, our customer service just sucks. And people applauded that. They said, that's right. And I hear you. Some people are just not getting an answer. And that's got to be fixed. And I've got to work with folks to fix it. But to your point, we have to enroll more. first-time freshmen. We have to enroll more transfer students. And I know the transfer process is not easy, and I've got to work with the faculty to ensure that the articulation agreements are in place, that the transfer process works, the students don't suffer transfer shock, and retention is at the top of our list. You know, our best students are our current and former students. That's who we're going to enroll. And we have so many people. There's a fellow, he's a great fellow. I see him every morning. He's the concierge in the building that I live in. I live less than a mile south of campus. I'm right here in the neighborhood. He went to Queens College for a couple of years, and he's got a kid. He's got a two-year-old kid, a great two-year-old kid, and he's working this full-time job in this building, does a great job. When I see him, I say to him, you know, we'd love to have you come back and finish that bachelor's degree. That's who we need, because that one fellow, I see him every day, and he's symbolic to me. He represents hundreds. He represents actually thousands. So it's first-time freshmen, it's transfers, and it's retention. It is all of the above, and it's going to take a team effort, because Jen, while she is just fantastic, she herself cannot fix this. I can't fix it. We need all of us united working on this together. Back to you, Kevin.
Thank you. We'll take two more questions or comments. Dave.
Hi. Just to underline the importance of this, the college is seeing a lot of extra funding this year, and maybe even next year, because the COVID money is still coming out of the federal government, which is going to the state. And that's going to end very soon. So if the college doesn't catch up on the enrollment, and the enrollment is what funds the budget, because you collect tuition and you have to meet a certain amount of tuition, or they take it off your budget. And if you collect more, you get to keep it. It goes into Kutra. And in terms of 20,000, so back in the ancient days, very ancient, when I was a student at Queens, we had 34,000 students on the campus and fewer buildings. So it can be done.
Thank you, Dave. Robin.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I feel like I understand what we can do as individuals in our classrooms or our social networks, but are there any formal channels that you're looking for faculty to help with recruitment or retention?
Absolutely. We're working with the PNB. We just had a meeting yesterday, and this is part of shared governance. You have ideas, you have things you can do individually, and we will be putting together opportunities for you to help participate. I would love it if you would come out to an open house, if you would do something to help us close the deal. I can only shake so many hands, and I'm only but so charming. We need you to help talk to the prospective students in the fields that you're interested in. The reason they're going to come to Queens College is not because of who the president is. They're going to come to Queens College because of who the professors are. They're going to come because they know that their cousin went here and had a good experience. They're going to come for our beautiful campus experience. They're going to come for athletics. They're going to come for extracurriculars. That's why they're going to come. Now, we do have this wonderful QC and four program, and we are improving our own four-year graduation rate. So there is one good aspect of this, which is we're graduating folks too. So I don't want you to think it's all doom and gloom. I want to credit the folks who put together QC and four, a wonderful program. And again, thank you so much. It's just wonderful to be here with the Senate, and I look forward to doing this in person. Kevin?
Thank you so much, Frank. It's always a pleasure to have you. You're welcome anytime. And I can speak for the Senate in saying we look forward to working with you going forward. Okay, we'll move on. There's a second announcement I'll make, and I actually have two to make, and then I'll ask if anyone else has any announcements. We President Wu pointed out that we have a meeting scheduled for April 13th, 2023, which happens to occur over spring break. So we have changed that meeting to the following week, April 20th, 2023. You'll see communication about that closer to time, but we're not meeting over spring break, obviously. And then I neglected to list this as an announcement, but I wanted to address the question of our modality. We've been meeting on Zoom. So then it looked like we were going to meet in person, and then on Zoom, there's a lot of kind of confusion. So without getting too far into the weeds, there is an expiration of the change to the open meetings law on September 12th, on Monday. So things are going to change on Monday, one way or the other. And the question the executive committee is facing is whether we want to continue to meet on Zoom or to begin meeting on person, meeting in person, excuse me. And so we want to get some of your informal feedback today, but the way they've changed the law, they've made there's a kind of a catch. So we can, let me get this right. Okay. We can, as a Senate, decide to meet in person, but also senators can attend via Zoom. So we can have a hybrid attendance model where we are able to do both. The catch, however, is that a quorum must exist physically in person in the room in Dave Field's lecture hall. So if we can get 31 people to show up to our Senate meetings, we can have a meeting that is in person, but also senators can Zoom in, can vote, can participate in all the normal ways. If we do not get a quorum, if only 30 people show up, then we can't have a meeting. So I wanted to explain that to you and explain why there's been some indecision about whether they were in person or online or this or that. There are obviously pros and cons to both situations. And so rather than say my piece, I just wanted to invite anyone who had any feelings about this to say those for the executive so we can consider this. Dave.
There's one more wrinkle in the law. So the law allows as long as the governor's executive order number 11.9 stays, which expires on the 12th, but it may be renewed because she's renewed them every month or two. So she may renew it. But when it expires, a new part of the open meetings law takes over, section 103A, and it creates two types of remote people. So you have to have a quorum in the room to have a meeting, or you could have people from home who can vote but don't count towards the quorum if the home is closed. But there's a third option, and that is you can meet remotely as long as that meeting is also open to the public, and those people will count towards the quorum. So there are three categories: people in the room, people at home without it being open, and people at some place with it being open. The one where it's open counts towards the quorum, the one where it's not doesn't. And the body has to adopt a resolution to make this happen. The law gives every public body the right to make a decision on how they have this process. So when you write your notes to Kevin, include the possibility that it's both a remote with people allowed to visit, and most people will not allow their homes to be open, or without, but then you still count towards, you don't count towards the quorum, but you can vote. So those are the choices in the new law.
Thank you, Dave. I thought you were inviting us all to your house for the next.
Come on over. I'm in Massachusetts.
Okay. Yes. We'll bring tea and biscuits. Okay. Yes. So as Dave suggested, I think I said this implicitly, we're not going to vote now on this per se. I want you all to think about it. I invite you to write to me and copy Brenda with your thoughts on that. But yes, there are three options. I have my own feelings, but I see my job as trying to express or to capture the majority. Does anyone want to comment on that now, or any questions about the modality? Okay, so we'll move on. I'll say I'm inclined to want to meet in person, but if we can't get a quorum, that's not good. And if there's any chairs in the audience, you know that's not good for your curriculum. So we definitely want to make sure we're able to balance the Zoom accessibility with being able to conduct our business. Okay. Does anyone else have any announcements or reports or memorials? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. No special motions and committee reports. So I'll recognize Ken Lord.
Okay. I'd like to move the minutes from May. Let me just. And there is one editorial correction, and that is on page 2. Philosophy 160 is listed there with the title Intro to Ethics. The title really is Business Ethics. I checked that out in CUNY first. That's the only editorial correction. Otherwise, I move the May minutes and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ken. Are there any objections? Okay, seeing none with that editorial amendment, we will accept the UCC minutes. Next is the nominating committee report, which was distributed recently. And I think I saw Stephen here. Yes, can I recognize Stephen?
Yes, the nominating committee met and elected me as its chair. And then we recommended two people for undergraduate students for the subcommittee on honorary degrees, whose names are given in the report. And I would ask the Senate for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Stephen. Are there any objections? Okay, seeing none, the nominating committee report is accepted. Now we'll move on to old business. I've made a mistake and listed these out of order. So we have item 6A, nominations to the executive committee. We'll begin with the last one listed here, the deputy holder of the chair. And I believe I will recognize Jamal Mark.
Thank you, Kevin. Hello, everyone. Just a quick introduction of me, Jamal Mark, the Queens College Student Association president. And along in this meeting are the fellow e-board members, Vice President Ravina Ramortar, Treasurer Louis Villa, and Secretary Elizabeth Gilbert as well. And along with the committee chairs as well as senators. So to start off with, for the nominations, and just check in the agenda again, nominations for the executive committee secretary, to start
deputy
with.
Chair. Deputy
look,
chair.
Look, we're going to, yeah, sorry, let's start with the bottom. We'll do deputy holder of the chair first.
Okay. So deputy holder of the chair, I would like to nominate Jen Choi. Of course, Jen Choi is unfortunately absent today due to her illness. But yes, I would like to hold it as a placeholder, but yes.
Okay, so we have a nomination for Jen Choi. Are there any other nominations? Can I take the liberty of moving unanimous consent for Jen Choi? Are there any objections? Okay, so Choi is elected deputy holder of the chair. Thank you. So next we'll do Secretary Jamal.
Secretary, I would like to nominate Louis Villa.
I accept the nomination.
Thank you, Louis. Are there any other nominations? Okay, and I'll just add, I'll move this unanimous consent. Are there any objections to Louis's nomination? Okay, seeing none, Villa's elected as secretary. Welcome. And then third, we have a faculty member seat on the executive committee. Are there any nominations?
No nominations from the QCSA.
No, that would be quite something.
Here you go.
Okay, I'll be communicating with the Senate in the coming months about making sure our committees are up to speed. I worry that some of the Zoom meetings have made it a little bit harder to network and to get to know people. So we do have an open seat on the executive committee, and I'll also talk to the deans about that. Thank you. Okay, so let's move on nominations to the nominating committee. First, we have an open seat for a faculty member in education. Are there any nominations?
No nominations from the QCSA.
Yeah. Is anyone else, any other nominations? I realized yesterday I'm actually on the nominating committee in an at-large seat, and although I'm in the arts and humanities, so I believe I can move things around. And let me double check that before I say that, actually, never mind. There are two student seats. So we have an arts and humanities seat on the nominating committee. Jamal, is there a nominee?
Yes, there is. I'd like to nominate Enrique Peña Orpeza for the arts and humanities seat. Oh, no, wait, sorry, rephrase that. I'd like to nominate Michaela Noble for the Arts and Humanities seat.
Sorry, muted there.
I accept the nomination.
Thank you, Michaela. Are there any other nominations? We'll move unanimous. I'm sorry, anyone? We'll move unanimous consent. Are there any objections? Okay, so Noble is elected to the Arts and Humanities seat. And then Jamal, do you have a nominee for the Social Sciences seat?
Yes, and that is Enrique Peña Orpeza.
Thank you, Enrique.
I accept the nomination.
Thank you. Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, I'll move unanimous consent. Are there any objections?
Well done.
Welcome to the nominating committee. We'll move Enrique. We have some new business. There's a University Faculty Senate petition. There's still seats left to represent the University Faculty Senate from Queens College to make sure we have a robust delegation. Can I call on Robin, who I haven't seen? I hope she's here.
I'm here.
Hi, Robin. Yes, can I give you the floor? Do you have a nominee?
Yes, I would like to nominate Professor Grace Bai to the UFS.
Excellent, thank you. And we, I believe the petition was included with the signatures and all of that. So are there any objections to, so we'll move unanimous consent. Are there any objections to nominating Grace Bai to the University Faculty Senate? Okay, seeing none, welcome Grace. And motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Any objections? Lovely to see everyone. Stay safe. Hope to see you on campus, and we'll communicate soon about the modality of our next meeting. Goodbye.
Thank you, folks.
Nice to meet you.
Have a nice day, everyone.
Have a good one.